Hi, this is Dick Collins, and welcome to our podcast today. And with me is Paul Wagner, who's the Campus Instructional Technology Specialist in Rosenberg, Texas. Previously, he'd been a third and fourth grader for 7 years, and he is the voice behind Teach Through Technology, his blog. And he's an expert on student blogging. And Paul, thank you for being here. He is also from South Dakota, and he moved to Texas 15 years ago from Tabor, South Dakota. And I haven't been to Tabor, but I've been close, and it's cold today. So welcome, Paul. I'd like to thank you for joining us, and let's go ahead and get started. What exactly is student blogging?
The word blog comes from weblog. So I kind of view it as an online journal that the teachers or students can use. It's authors or groups of authors are able to share ideas, tips, and opinions on a wide variety of topics. And then it's kind of a journal where you have the ability to have readers respond back through comments to give feedback and share other ideas as well. For students, I see it as a way for them to publish thoughts and ideas for a larger audience. Students these days are not really happy just creating material for the people directly around them. They want to go to the larger audience.
How long is the blog generally?
You want to keep it short. I would say, and if you're going over 1,000 words, it's probably getting to be a bit too long, but it also depends on what you're trying to explain or what feeling you're trying to bring across.
It seems to me the 1,000 words is really long.
I would think 500 is probably better.
Yeah, right.
But again, it depends on on the concept.
Right.
You know, if you can write for 1,000 words and you can keep their interest that long, that's fine. But if you have to start repeating yourself over, you've gone too far.
Do you help them edit their blog?
I go back and forth. We have to make sure that it's appropriate and that it's not misinterpreted anyway. But nothing gives me greater thrill than trying to sit down and read a first grader's blog post, anything that they write, to try to see what they're getting across. You've got to do that inventive spelling. You have to try to figure it out. But they get so excited when they see that what they wrote is actually on the page.
Yeah, very cool.
That, you don't want to take that away from them either.
Right. Well, how do you handle the risk of online publishing?
Most blogs that you use, and there's some sites that I like to advise teachers to use are Blogger or Weebly.com is also another really good one, and KidBlog is a good one. Those blogs have where you can set the privacy to different things to help with the safety. You can set it so it's private and only certain people are allowed to view. They have to get permission. But I have a hard time with that because the goal of a blog, I think the biggest advantage of a blog is that a wide variety of people can read and respond. So you're smart about it, you only use first names or maybe a first initial when you're posting. And if you post pictures, you're not associating a name to that image if it happens to be a student, then I think you're probably okay to keep it public. But ultimately, the decision is not mine. It's the teacher and the administrator on that campus. Or there also may be an outline district policy stating whether or not they can use names at all or anything like that. Well, if a teacher is going to do anything with social media, they should always check with their administrators first.
Right. Could you use Weebly and KitBlog? Could you use several blogs at the same time?
You'd have to create an account for each. Weebly.com is a free domain, and there's an education.weebly.com that you can use where it's all free for the teacher, and they view the website, and they house the website for you, and then it's up to you to design it. KidBlog and Weebly both allow you for free up to a certain number to create a major page, like a class page, and then you can create different student pages underneath it if that's what you choose to do.
Okay. Well, now how do you integrate it into your classroom?
Since it can be about whatever you really want it to be, you can fit it into any subject, even in any classroom. Even kindergartners are doing some. You can have them not just write, but they could take pictures or do little videos or audio clip explaining something, and you can attach that as well. But I think blogging works best when you approach it from two different angles. You obviously can assign a specific topic or question to have the students blog about and answer, but you also have to make sure that you give students an opportunity to blog about whatever they want to write about, because this creates a better buy-in for them.
Now, how does a teacher get started?
I believe there has to be total teacher buy-in in order for this to be successful. It's something you can't go in thinking, I'm not sure if I want to or not. The decision has to be made Yes. And the first post probably will not be great, just like anything else. When you first get started, you know, you have to find your groove. But you have to keep at it. That being said, for a teacher, you have to make sure that they're not trying to commit to more that they can do at the time. You know, taking on too much will result in a bad experience, and we don't want that for anybody. So they need to start small and build from there and find where the blogging would fit into their plans originally. But on my website, teachthroughtech.com, this fall I wrote three different posts. One was why students should be blogging. One is how to start blogging with students. And then there's the last one is some great sites like Weebly and KidBlog where they can actually get started. So if you search for the word student blogging on my site, teachthroughtech.com, it will help guide them through the process. One of the things I think that is best for them to try is to maybe to start to blog on paper. In those posts, I have some templates that are available that kind of has a blog format feel to it and will give them in the right state of mind. So once they write the blog on paper, then the students can also switch with other students in the classroom, just their hard copy, and give the other students a chance to comment back and forth, because then they'll get a feel of what that will mean and do for them as well. And I think that commenting is really where a lot of good learning happens too, because you're getting the feedback, and it's a great motivation to get the students to strive to improve.
When they write their first blog, do you suggest they write a short one, 100 words or less, or something like that?
Yes, and it will depend also on the age group that you're looking at. And, you know, I would think 100 to 200 words would be way more than enough to start with. And then, like I said, look at the comments and go back that way. And when you're doing the comments, too, you have to make sure that you talk to your class ahead of time about how a comment should appear. You know, you want it to be positive feedback. You don't want it to be degrading, or to make sure that, you know, the students can learn something from what they have put there.
Well, how do you adapt your the blogging concept for different age groups?
It does not have to all be written work. Using drawings, pictures, audio, video can be really beneficial for creating a post. And this is beneficial and works really well when you're doing different age groups as well as students with different abilities. So within a classroom, you might have some students doing one thing while other students are following another path. There are a lot of apps that are available for students to create digital products that you can share through a blog. Sketch is one of them. That's an app and a program on the computer as well where you can annotate over the top of an existing picture. So students could go in and, you know, an example that we use with first grade was they took a picture of each other, and then one student wrote adjectives describing the other student right on the picture. Things like that could help. PhotoBabble and Telegami are a couple other apps that would work really well for this.
That's pretty interesting. And so what age do you start these, do you start kids blogging?
Well, I have seen in some kindergartners and some first graders get started. They don't have their own pages or anything yet, but a kindergarten teacher just last week, she and I sat down with their class and they did little Telegami videos describing Thanksgiving things. And then we posted the videos on the class blog so that the parents could see it.
And that is a tele-what video?
Telegami records like a 30-second video for you.
Well, now, have you seen a positive outlook at positive outcomes at your schools?
Yeah, well, teachers seeing the benefit from this has been an easy sell for me. I mean, you talk about it and you can see that it's in their eyes that they know it will be beneficial. Finding the time and their demanding schedule already has been an issue for me so far, though. I've got a handful of teachers that are in the beginning stages. They've created their class blogs, and they're posting things that are happening in their class. Some student work, but not a lot. A lot of the students are starting to blog on paper, but we've had difficulty moving forward from there. They just seem, you know, the testing and all the other demands placed on them just kind of has forced us to take a back seat. I'm going to keep pushing for it. With it, though, because I really believe that this is a great concept for any subject and any age. And I know that once the teachers start to see the benefits that it'll do, that it can, the positive benefits that the students will have, more teachers will jump on board and try to be willing to do this as well.
Well, finding time in the day is always the struggle, so you need to stay with it and keep pushing. You're doing exactly right. How has this impacted your career and your approach to education?
Blogging itself, I've been doing for quite a while. I've had a personal or family blog. Occasionally, too, I write for our team's webpage. Our team's webpage is icafe.lcisd.org. We have a blog that runs there that talks about, you know, new concepts that are coming, but we also have a lot of resources available for free, downloadable cheat sheets and things like that. So, and it deals with software, hardware, anything like that, interactive whiteboards, how to use them, how the software works. So anybody out there should check that out and spread the word on that. We're trying to get that built up a little bit so more people can use it. But the combination of writing between those two really gave me a taste for more, so that's kind of why I started my teachthroughtech.com professional blog. I started with the standard in February of 2012 to post at least once a week, and I've held true to that so far. Setting the schedule helps me keep up with that, and it's kind of forcing me to keep it going. And I'm sure it's helped build up my following, too. You know, the first month that I wrote, I had 104 views, and now I'm between 2,000 and 3,000 a month. So it's growing, and it keeps increasing, which I'm very happy with.
That's exciting. Was there any event in your life that inspired you to become a teacher and then inspired you to get into technology and blogging and reach out and save children?
I had some great teachers along the way that kind of led me this direction. And I've always been intrigued on technology. But I think the most inspiring moment from my educational experience right now has been, it's still ongoing. About 6 years ago, Dr. Thomas Randall, who's our district superintendent, had a vision about technology and integration with the curriculum. He wasn't happy with how things were being purchased because people weren't using them the way that they should have been. He wanted to get teachers involved. He thought, you know, the more the teachers know about technology, and then they should have a say in what's being ordered, because they're the ones that are going to use it. So we wanted to give something to them that they thought would be beneficial. So my colleagues and I were asked to try to create a training, and from that, we developed Interact. Interact stands for Integrating Technology Realistically Among Classroom Teachers, and it's a week-long summer training with a select teachers from each campus. They get to apply, and then they're chosen, you know, by a group of people to come. And the week is spent modeling how to integrate technology into their everyday classroom. The instructional technology team created it, but we don't spend a whole lot of time teaching the tools. Our main objective for the week is great teaching strategies. So we focus a lot on Marzano and his instructional strategies, and we look at the 21st century learning development. Those play a key role in our training. The technology keeps changing, as you know, from day to day, not even year to year. Yes. But the teaching strategies, great teaching strategies, are constant. And so we really try to focus on that. Once the week is done, the people who participate get a credit with our district, and they get to go in and choose what items they want to buy from a district shopping cart as far as technology goes. And then we spend the next year and the years after that following up with them, continuing training, model teaching, stopping in just to see how they're going to ensure that, you know, they're supported in their integration. Since it's been going on for about, this will be the sixth year, you know, the campuses are improving as well. We're seeing that because it's not just us, you know, I'm only there once a week. But now they also have a base group of teachers that have all gone through this training, so they can lean on each other as well. We've had great feedback from it. The only thing that really anybody has a negative complaint about is the fact that they can't come back again until most of the teachers on campus have gone through it. And it's between 2 and 4 teachers a year can go. They're excited with the technology they get, and the strategies are good, but, you know, the people who went 5 years ago have iPod Nanos that they could buy. They're pretty much obsolete anymore. So,
right.
You know, our district has also looked and has started buying equipment that teachers can check out, but it's like for a 2-week period. And so that's hard as well, because they just get into it and then we have to pull it back because somebody else wants it. So they're always looking for ways to integrate more technology and ways to get more technology into their classrooms.
That's great. Well, Paul, thank you so much for being with me today. You're doing great work in Rosenberg. You're making a difference in kids' lives, not only in Texas, but South Dakota and everywhere else in the world. So thank you so much for being with me.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much, Mr. Collins.